It's become a typical day in Colombia. Three more judges have quit their jobs after being threatened by the murderous drug cartels.
The Colombian drug bar, thought to be fleeing their government's crackdown, have made their presence felt with startling ferocity. Colombia's Lords Get Policy.
On May 31, 2022, an 83-year-old cartel leader died in a U.S. prison, but there was no noise in the media or the news. It was almost as if Gilberto Rodriguez Orihuela was a nobody, but he was. He was the chess player. He introduced the rules of the trade in drug trafficking, the one who pulled the strings working from the shadows, the man who waged war on Pablo Escobar and Juan. Gilberto was a narco-revolutionary, and today I'm going to tell you all about him. Who was this cartel leader who died in prison? Gilberto Rodriguez Orihuela was born on January 30, 1939, the son of a painter and a housewife. Like many of his brethren, including Pablo Escobar, Gilberto began his criminal career at a very young age, but unlike Escobar, he was not born poor. His family was middle class. Gilberto was raised in the municipality of Mariquita in the Department of Tolima. Departments in Colombia are the equivalent of states in the United States. A few years after the birth of his younger brother, Miguel, his parents decided to move to the city of Cali, capital of the Department of Valle del Cauca. Life was going well for the Orihuelas until Gilberto's father decided to abandon the family. This plunged him into poverty. His mother, who had never had a job nor needed one, became responsible for supporting the entire family. In addition to Miguel, Gilberto had four other siblings. It was a lot for the poor woman, but Gilberto was aware of it. So at just 13 years old, he stepped up and took responsibility for his home. He studied at the San Luis Gonzaga School, located in the heart of the capital. Gilberto got a job as a delivery boy at a pharmacy not far from his school. His job was simple, delivering medication to elderly people who couldn't get to the pharmacy. There's no record of how much Gilberto was paid and whether this was what led him to the robbery. But as I said before, there was a need to survive, a need to return to his old life, and when opportunity meets greed, criminals are born. In Gilberto's case, he began to diversify his clientele. Beyond delivering drugs to the elderly, the young Orihuela would steal drugs from his workplace and sell them to addicts. This was the grand preface to what would become Gilberto's legendary career. Did Gilberto see this future from such an early age? Did he already know this was the path he would take, or was it simply a consequence of his cruel fate? We'll never know. What we do know is that Gilberto's younger brother, Miguel, was by his side. They delivered drugs together, stole together, and even shared the profits together. By the age of 20, Gilberto had set up his own pharmacy. Eventually, Miguel and Roberto would become business partners in one of the largest, most corrupt, and influential cartels of the 20th century. But wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves. There were a lot of steps that had to be taken first. Greatness, good or bad, takes time and a lot of effort. And in the case of Gilberto and his brother, the first step toward the life of their dreams began with kidnapping and extortion in the 1960s. Throughout the 1950s, the Orihuelas were mostly out of sight, but there's no doubt that they worked together during this period. And there's also no doubt that it was deliberate, because by the time they resurfaced in the 1960s, they were established criminals. Gilberto now ran a chain of pharmacies that bent the rules to maximize their profits. He was in his 30s and wealthy, but from his perspective, they weren't wealthy enough. Gilberto had ambition, but more importantly, he had a plan. A plan that bridged the gap between where he was in the early 1960s and what would eventually become the multi-million dollar cocaine trafficking enterprise known as the Cali Cartel. They teamed up with a mutual friend, a criminal named Jose Santa Cruz Londano. Londano was, to put it delicately, an ingeniously violent man. Some would say he had an appetite for certain extremities, others that he did what had to be done. Whatever it was, there was no doubt that he was the perfect partner for Gilberto's next venture, Las Chemas. Las Chemas was a criminal organization that specialized in sabotage, smuggling, extortion, and kidnapping. Sabotage and smuggling went hand in hand. They targeted vehicles and trafficked in light contraband like fabric and whiskey. This was relatively safe, but not profitable enough. Extortion and kidnapping, on the other hand, were highly risky and therefore highly lucrative. Luckily, they had Londano to oversee the gritty parts of the business. Finally, after almost a decade of running the Chemas, Gilberto hit the nail on the head after kidnapping two Swiss nationals from the family of a diplomat in Cali. Gilberto demanded 700,000 euros in ransom. He was paid. and many believe that this amount of money, a staggering sum in the 70s, was what paved the way for Gilberto's next venture, because in the months that followed, Gilberto and his brother formed a team that would come to be known as the Cali Cartel. The birth of the Cali Cartel, 1975. The 70s were epic for any drug lover. The decade saw cocaine explode with a vengeance, and it soon surpassed coffee as Colombia's leading export. In 1973, a guy named Pablo Escobar, you may have heard of him, formed the Medellin Cartel. It's possible that it was this movement that inspired Gilberto. We will never know. What we do know is that 2 years after the Medellin Cartel was formed in 1975, Gilberto established the Cali Cartel along with his brother Miguel, José Santa Cruz Londoño de las Chemas, and Helmer Herrera. From the beginning, Gilberto sought to differentiate himself from Escobar's enterprise. Unlike Escobar, he was much more educated and came from a more respectable social background, so he felt no need to prove anything to anyone. This allowed him to adopt a less flashy criminal image and also to move between social classes without standing out. For his part, Gilberto did everything he could to differentiate his cartel from Escobar's enterprise. He dubbed his cartel the Knights of Cali. They attempted to take the moral high ground, choosing to traffic in the less harmful marijuana. But marijuana had low profit margins and required trafficking in massive quantities to cover costs, so it was not profitable from a business perspective. They eventually relented and began transporting cocaine like Escobar. Gilberto sent Helmer Herrera to New York to set up a distribution port. It was easy. Why? Well, because the US government didn't see cocaine as a problem in the 70s. They were too busy dealing with heroin, which already had a reputation in the United States. Another difference between the Cali Cartel and Escobar's Medellin Cartel was their structure. Whereas in the Medellin Cartel, everyone reported to Escobar, answered only to him, and paid taxes directly to him. The Cali Cartel was divided into 5 groups, which in turn were subdivided into several other cells. Each had its own shop called Zelda and could make its own decisions. Gilberto's job was to lay out the vision, control the excesses, and collect his cut. Over time, the elder Orihuela came to be widely respected for his strategic ability. He was always in touch with the big picture. He is very smart person. He is so thedrista. His younger brother Miguel was better suited for the day-to-day operations and dealings. With Londoño and Herrera on board, Gilberto recruited more trusted members. Over time, they controlled a cocaine distribution network that stretched from Los Angeles, Miami, and New York to the heart of the Soviet Union. These men were Gilberto's partners. Under each of them, an elaborate network operated independently, with managers remitting royalties to Gilberto, his brother, and their partners. This made the business run more smoothly, but more importantly, it isolated the bosses from the top. And business boomed. Under Gilberto's direction, the Cali Cartel found new ways to export large quantities of drugs. One of them was to hide them in thick planks that were shipped from the port of Buenaventura on Colombia's Pacific coast to various warehouses and shell companies in the United States. It's not that Cali didn't have enemies in the 1970s, he certainly did. In fact, authorities had begun uncovering shipments as early as 76 when 650 pounds of coca paste were seized before it left Peru for Colombia. And in 78, the United States would join in when federal agents uncovered a cocaine distribution network in Queens, New York, that Gilberto owned. But what kept Gilberto off their radar was his modus operandi. Unlike Escobar, who had grand political ambitions, Gilberto was content to raise kings from the shadows. And unlike Escobar, who would wage war on government officials who wouldn't give him what he wanted, Gilberto found ways to make it so they could never refuse his offer. Threats of violence almost always remained just threats, threats that were almost always enough to get things done. By starting and investing in so many banks and other financial institutions, Gilberto created a smokescreen around himself and his cartel. He was practically the narco angel investor of the 70s. Those who could be bought were bought, and those who couldn't were forcibly taken away from them. And, at the end of a long day's work, while Escobar had a fleet of cars and a zoo in his mansions, Gilberto would drive in a low-cost car, like the one an average government worker would drive, to a house in an upper-middle-class neighborhood where an average government worker would live. Unfortunate unions, the 80s. By the early 80s, the Cali cartel was responsible for 20% of the world's cocaine market. Gilberto, from the shadows, turned the Cali cartel into one of the most discreet and successful drug trafficking organizations in the world. His only competition was the Medellin cartel, which still controlled the remaining 80%. Under Gilberto's leadership, the Cali cartel had its own roots and markets, and through Gilberto's philosophy of diplomacy over violence, they found a way to extend their influence by partnering with the Medellin cartel. Gilberto and Escobar were not friends, and not just because Escobar was their direct competitor, but because Pablo was the opposite of what Gilberto was and represented. However, Escobar was undeniably successful, and Gilberto was not about to go to war with him. It would destabilize both cartels, their businesses, and the global drug trade. It would also attract the attention of the authorities. So they teamed up and divided up the major distribution points in the United States. The Cali cartel took over New York City, and the Medellin cartel took over South Florida and Miami. This stabilized the market in the early 1980s and opened the door to more collaborations. Unfortunately, this alliance had a downside. By becoming Escobar's ally, the Cali cartel inherited Escobar's enemies. In the 1980s, after Escobar tried and failed to enter Colombian politics, he waged a vicious war against his government. This became Gilberto's worst nightmare because it attracted the attention of the United States and forced the government to focus on fighting the cartels. So Gilberto began looking for an alternative, untapped market. He found it in Europe. Gilberto partnered with the Italian mafia organization La Camorra and set up a system of transporting and distributing cocaine to Europe via Italy with the support of the mafia. At one point, he was arguably responsible for almost all the cocaine snorted in Europe, and to this day you can probably draw a line between the Cali cartel and anyone who has a drug problem there. In the meantime, Pablo's methods didn't sit well with Gilberto, but he had made up his mind and wasn't going to back down because of some violence against already violent people. Unfortunately, by the mid-1980s, their alliance began to fall apart. On the one hand, competition between the two cartels became too fierce and other smaller cartels began to take advantage of the situation. Ultimately, it was an ally of the Medellin cartel that triggered their split. Rodriguez Gacha, also known as El Sombrero, attempted to enter the New York market, which had already been ceded to the Cali cartel with Escobar's blessing. In 1984, Gilberto was in Madrid with Jorge Ochoa, a close associate of Escobar. When they were both arrested, Ochoa's arrest raised suspicions among Escobar, and when Ochoa remained in prison after Gilberto was released a year later, their relationship fractured. During Gilberto's incarceration, the United States pressured the Spanish government for his extradition. But Gilberto's lawyers convinced the Colombian government to pressure Spanish President Felipe González to deport him to Colombia in 1986. In Colombia, Gilberto was transferred to Bella Vista Prison in Cali, where he served another 13 months. However, this is where Gilberto's influence began to work against him. Prosecutors were determined to take down Gilberto because they knew it would be a major blow, if not the end of the Cali cartel. They even opened an investigation that would have indicted Gilberto for drug trafficking. But in 1988, the entire case was dismissed due to lack of evidence. Gilberto was acquitted. He was a free man again, and as soon as Gilberto was released from prison, he went back into the shadows. However, his cover was blown and his days numbered, because while he was now moving in the shadows, the United States government was hot on his tail. In the meantime, a war was brewing, Cali versus Medellin. In the late 1980s, Pablo Escobar became radioactive. He had already assassinated a sitting minister, Minister Rodrigo Lara Bonilla, in 1984. This act of narco-terrorism prompted the presidency of Cesar Gaviria to act. International attention, specifically that of the United States, also turned to Escobar and Colombian drug trafficking. Escobar waged a war against the government, extradition, and the press. In 1986, he ordered the assassination of Guillermo Cano, editor of the newspaper El Espectador, to intimidate any other journalists who might think of opposing him. And by late 1987, Escobar was demanding that Gilberto join him in terrorizing the country and forcing it to ban extraditions. Gilberto loved the cause but hated the method, so he declined the request. Escobar felt betrayed and declared war. Things returned to normal. Cali and Medellin sworn enemies. But Escobar had underestimated the extent to which Gilberto was willing to play dirty. As Escobar evaded authorities from safe house to safe house, he sent assassins to finish off Gilberto. 76 warehouses belonging to Gilberto were bombed. Money was lost, civilians were killed, but most of all Gilberto was angry, so he retaliated by going after Escobar's family. On the night of Wednesday, January 13, 1988, the Cali cartel detonated a car bomb containing 150 pounds of dynamite in front of the Monaco building. Pablo's family was in the building. Luckily for them, they were not killed, but the bomb tore through the neighborhood, shattering windows in a four-block radius, killing three people and injuring 10 others. On another occasion, Gilberto hired a British commando named Peter McAllis to kill Escobar, but he failed. Hit after hit, botch after botch, Escobar remained evasive with both Gilberto and the Colombian government. But his power waned and he eventually struck a deal to build his own prison, the Cathedral. But Gilberto wasn't done with the boss. He tried once more to take out Pablo by bombing the prison from the sky, but once again he failed. However, Medellin was on the decline and Cali was on the rise. For every territory Pablo lost, Gilberto gained. For once the cost of fighting Pablo Escobar made economic sense, so Gilberto settled back in his seat and gambled everything he had. This time he would make sure he didn't fail. The fall of the Cali cartel. The 90s marked both the total dominance and the inevitable fall of the Cali cartel. Both events occurred almost simultaneously. In 1993, Gilberto and other Cali cartel leaders funded an organization called Perseguidos por Pablo Escobar, better known as the Pepes. They were made up of former members of the Medellin cartel who had been targeted by Escobar. The PP were looking for revenge, and since their goals coincided with those of the Cali cartel, Gilberto was happy to provide them with the resources needed to take down Escobar. The Cali cartel contributed at least 30 million euros to the Pepes. In the meantime, the Colombian government had created its own anti-Escobar organization, the Search Block, a joint police and military unit created to track down the Medellin kingpins. And it wasn't just the Colombian government, the Americans were also in on it. Which is ironic because in 1991 law enforcement seized 67 tons of cocaine, 75% of which belonged to the Cali cartel, and in 1992 the United States had intercepted an associate of Gilberto's, leading to the arrest of six of his associates and the seizure of over 6 tons of cocaine hidden in a shipment of broccoli. Throughout 1993, the U.S. Customs Service seized 5.5 tons of cocaine from the Cali cartel in Miami and intercepted three boats carrying a total of 17 tons of the white stuff. So the Americans, who were working with the Cali cartel, were there out of necessity. They were not allies of Gilberto, but a thorn in his side. But their attacks were still futile, because with Escobar dead, Gilberto was cannibalizing the drug market. The chess player had moved his last piece. Checkmate. The Cali cartel now controlled 90% of the drug trade. At its peak, they were doing 7 billion euros a year. The game was up, Gilberto had won. Now what? Well, on the one hand, the Americans and Colombians poured all their resources into dismantling the Cali cartel and its leaders, especially Gilberto and his brother. In 1995, the US Treasury Department released a list of about 100 companies linked to the drug industry, his brother, and his cartel. They knew that the only way to hurt him was to destroy his public image and the legitimate companies he used to mask his empire. On the other hand, Gilberto began to lose his influence like Pablo Escobar. He was not trying to meddle in politics, he was not trying to control it. That same year, intelligence agencies revealed that Gilberto was attempting a narco-democracy. He was trying to install the next president of Colombia, of which they have secured two, they need three. This evidence was used by presidential candidate Andrés Pastrana Arango to accuse President-elect Ernesto Samper Paisano of having received at least 3.7 million euros from the Cali cartel to finance his campaign. However, investigations determined that there was no evidence that drug money sponsored Sam's presidential campaign and that he had knowledge of this fact. But even if that were true, Sam was under scrutiny, and if he had any alliance with Gilberto, he could no longer maintain that relationship. He had to take down the drug lord. Between June and July 1995, the remaining six of the seven cartel leaders were arrested, including Londoño. Banks, stores, schools, any facility remotely related to the kingpin was closed. On June 9, 1995, Gilberto was arrested by the Colombian National Police in a raid on his home in Cali. They had not seen him days before when they searched his house because he was hiding in a hollow cabinet in the bathroom with an oxygen tank. 2 months later, his brother Miguel would also be arrested after being betrayed by his top bodyguard, Jorge Salcedo. Gilberto was transferred to Bogotá and sentenced to 12 years in prison. However, after cooperating with the Colombian authorities and confessing to some crimes, his sentence was reduced to 12 years. Behind bars, Gilberto continued to run his dwindling empire for centuries, but he was growing tired. As a man who had done it all, who had reached his peak, Gilberto was ready to retire. In fact, it is suggested that he facilitated his arrest. When his sentence ended in the early 2000s, one final, harrowing chapter still awaited him. One that threatened his hopes for a peaceful retirement. In 2004, after a brief release, Colombia's Attorney General ordered Gilberto's arrest again. This time it was for a specific case from 1990 in which he shipped 150 kilograms of cocaine to the United States. The United States pressured the Colombian government to extradite him, and in 2006 he was extradited to the United States, where he was sentenced to 30 years in prison for conspiring to import cocaine into the United States and laundering drug proceeds. He pleaded guilty in Miami to charges of conspiring to import cocaine into the United States. Following his confession, he agreed to forfeit 2.1 billion euros in assets. The agreement, however, did not require him to cooperate in any further investigations. He was solely responsible for identifying the assets derived from his cocaine trafficking. Until his death on May 31, 2022, Gilberto was held in the federal prison in Werner. His legacy. Gilberto was different. Among his peers, he stood out not for being clumsy, but for always having a plan. And not just for himself. Gilberto had planned the future for his entire family, especially his children. He made sure they were not involved in drug trafficking, sent them to the best American universities, and kept them out of his business dealings. His lifestyle was not sustainable, and he did not want any of his children to continue in it. In fact, when his first son went to prison for drug trafficking, Gilberto angrily visited him with a belt and whipped him as if he were a rambunctious 5-year-old. But when asked what he thought of his life, Gilberto said he had no regrets. He said he lived a good life and achieved everything he set out to do. So his death marked the end of an era, the first generation of Colombian drug traffickers. But at the same time, it marked the dawn of another era of Colombian drug traffickers. Have you ever wondered why you only hear about the Mexican cartels in the news? Despite all the cult that Escobar receives in the Western world, the new era of Colombian drug traffickers have chosen Gilberto's path. They have perfected their low-profile approach, their way of infiltrating legitimate businesses and the highest echelons of power. If Gilberto were alive today, he would be proud of what they have accomplished. He would be proud to know that these new age traffickers are impossible to catch. He would be proud to hear them referred to as the invisible ones. Make available's armed forces and for the drug kingpin the death.